Let's read 1 Peter 1, verses 18 to 21. Verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Some beautiful verses there. I'm not going to go into them. I'm going to go into the message. Messages come to us in different ways. And this one comes from experiences we face with my dad. As you all know, his health journey was a long, slow decline, but it eventually came to an end. And with God's help, all my siblings and their partners, some good caregivers, and with the health of hospice, we were able to get him to the finish line. And I'll be honest, it was a rough journey at times, and we were stretched. And that's probably an understatement there. But as we cared for Dad, as we sat there with him, you know, it gave us a lot of time to think. And you're going to hear some of those thoughts in the message this morning. So back to our title, Life is in the Blood. You know, that is so true. It is. And I see so many parallels between our physical life, our physical lives, and our spiritual lives. And we want to look at what blood does for us, both physically and spiritually. So point number one is what our blood does for us. I'll repeat that. What our blood does for us. And I have five things our blood does for us. And there's probably many more, but I think these five are the main things. And I'm not a doctor or a nurse, so I hope that my research gave me the correct facts. But I'm just going to go down through these five and just give a short few statements about each one. You know, there is, when you start researching blood and how our body works, and there is just pages and pages of a lot of complex things, and can soon have my mind spinning. But probably some of you understand it better than I do, but it is, we are created by God. He's done a tremendous job. So right now we're going to talk about our physical blood. And it's interesting to, it said how much blood's in each one of us. It went on to say a newborn baby has about a cup of blood. Now, that isn't much. Adults have approximately 8 to 10 pints of blood. And a large man can have up to 12 pints of blood. So here are some of the functions our blood, our physical blood, does for us. Number one, delivers oxygen and nutrients. Delivers oxygen and nutrients. You know, blood is the body's delivery system, responsible for transporting vital resources. You know, it transports oxygen from the lungs to cells. Red blood cells containing hemoglobin bind to the oxygen in the lungs and deliver it to all the cells of the body. And blood carries nutrients absorbed from the digestive system, like amino acids, sugars, and fats, to the cells, providing energy and other bodily functions. Blood also transports hormones, chemical messengers that regulate various bodily processes. Like I said, you could just go on and on. There's pages of information, but I tried to break it down into something that we would understand. Number two, what does our blood do for us? Number two, prevents blood loss. Platelets in the blood initiate clotting when a blood vessel is damaged, preventing excessive bleeding. Blood clotting is a carefully orchestrated process that involves multiple players and pathways to ensure that bleeding is stopped and the body can repair itself. Just another function that we're blessed with. Blood does so much for us. What our blood does for us, number three, provides immune defense. You know, blood plays a crucial role in fighting infections and healing injuries. White blood cells are part of the immune system and fight off pathogens like bacteria and viruses. You know, if our immune system goes down, we're in trouble. Number four, assists in waste removal. Red blood cells transport carbon dioxide, a waste product of cell metabolism, from the tissues to the lungs for exhalation. Blood carries other waste products to the kidneys and liver for filtration and removal from the body. Just another function that we just take for granted. And number five, regulates body temperature. You know, blood helps distribute heat throughout the body, ensuring that organs and tissues are kept at the right temperature. And there was so much on that, you know, how it works and keeps each organ at the right temperature, and it's pretty complex. As blood circulates, it absorbs and dissipates heat, helping to maintain a stable body temperature. Well, like I said, there's many others, but I think those are probably the five main things. But our blood does so much for us. You know, it keeps flowing through our veins and keeps us alive. And we take it for granted. You know, I'm not standing here thinking, let's keep this blood doing this job. Or no, it just happens. God created it. He made us this way. You know, we are so fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, all these five things that I listed just keep happening. Every second, it just keeps happening. When you think about that, it's only God could create something so complex that works and functions so well. So, it is so true. Life is in the blood. Well, back to my dad. At the last, we sat by his side. It became very evident that his life was coming to a close. You know, his heart rate kept going lower and lower. His breathing was becoming more shallow, and he'd quit breathing for a time, then he'd start again. And eventually, his heart quit pumping. You know, he took his last breath, and he was gone. And right there, it became very evident that life was in the blood. you know, in the next few minutes, we sat there and we just watched his collar just leave his body, just changed. His blood was not getting pumped through his body and doing its job. You know, death had finally won in his physical life. So it is so true. Life is in the blood. Point number two is, why did Jesus have to die for our sins? It's a question that we want to discuss. Why did Jesus have to die for our sins? I don't have any points under this point. I just have a lot of verses, and we want to just discuss this question. Why couldn't Jesus just have shed some of his blood? You know, wouldn't a pint or two have been enough? You know, God can do anything with a little of something. You know, we know the story of how Jesus fed over 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. You know, the shedding of Jesus' blood was not just about a certain amount of blood that was needed to forgive our sins and wash them away. You know, in the Garden of Eden, you know, we know what happened. After Adam and Eve had sinned, God gave them a death penalty, both physically and spiritually. And sin is a transgression against God, leading to mankind's separation from God. And we all know the penalty of sin is death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, because of Adam and Eve's sin, every person born into this world is born with a sinful nature. A couple more verses. Romans 5, verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 3, 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So this is a big problem between the sinner and God. Because based upon the perfect justice of God, we all have or had the death sentence placed upon us. And because of God's holiness, us sinful creatures cannot be allowed into the presence of God. Psalms 5, verses 4 and 5 read like this. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. And Habakkuk 1:13 says, thou art of pure eyes then to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. So the question is, how can a sinner be made acceptable in the presence of a holy God? Well, the only way was for something or someone to take our sins away. You know, God's justice had to be satisfied. He could not just ignore or look the other way. He couldn't ignore our sins. He could not just forgive our sins without them being paid for or atoned for. God and Jesus provided a plan to redeem us. Leviticus 17:11 says that life is in the blood. Let me read that verse. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Since life is in the blood, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Another verse, Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So blood, which representing life, is the price for our redemption. You know, it was only Jesus, pure, sinless blood, that could satisfy God's justice. You know, the blood of animals, although those animals were innocent, they could only foreshadow the sinless blood of Christ. But Jesus became man, that he might redeem men and be the propitiation for our sin. And it could not just be a partial sacrifice. It had to be a complete sacrifice. Jesus, that is why Jesus had to give his life. We had the death penalty upon us. Therefore, it took death to redeem us. A quote I came across reads like this: Jesus' death on the cross was wholly perfect, totally complete, absolutely sufficient payment for our sins. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, words cannot tell all the profound depth and beauty of what Christ did for us by shedding his blood so that you and I can be saved. You know, God did not force Jesus to die. He gave his life for us, and we are blessed. Well, the next part of the message, I'd like to look at some of the things that Jesus' blood does for us. We're going to look at our spiritual lives. So point number 3 is benefits of Jesus' blood. Benefits of Jesus' blood. And I have 8 points under this, and this list is intertwined in each other. You know, if you have one, you'll probably have the other. And each one of these could be a message in itself, but I just have a little bit about each one. We're talking about blood. Now we're talking about our spiritual lives and the benefits of Jesus' blood. Number 1 is forgiveness. Definition of forgiveness: to pardon, to cover or atone, to take away, dismiss or release, to cancel a debt. I like that. That's what you and I have received, forgiveness. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, you and I can be forgiven through the blood that Jesus shed when he gave up his life. You know, the Bible emphasizes that forgiveness of sins is not earned, but it's a free gift from God that we can receive through faith in Jesus and his shed blood. Another benefit of Jesus' shed blood, number 2, is cleansing. Cleansing refers to washing or cleaning, to rid of impurities. And we all know what sin has done. Sin has made our hearts filthy and dirty. Couple verses. Psalms 51, verse 7 says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Revelations 1, verse 5 reads like this: and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You know, it's his blood that washed you and I. You know, our consciences have been washed by the blood of Jesus, because we have truly been purified from all sin. You know, this cleansing removes the guilt and penalty of sin. And I thought of as I was studying, thinking about cleansing, I thought of the song, Yes, I Know. I think it's in one of our books. Yes, I know Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. It's a beautiful song. But that's what you and I were, sinners. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. A couple more verses. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Beautiful. But there is a requirement for this cleansing. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We must confess our sins. You know, if we want to be cleansed, we need to confess them. Another benefit of Jesus' shed blood, 3, is redemption. Definition of redemption is to buy back, to free from captivity by payment of ransom. I like that. To buy back, to free us from captivity. We were captives. He freed us. 1 Peter 1:18 reads like this. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We already did read that in the beginning. Some beautiful verses. You know, man, in his original state, enjoyed fellowship with God, you know, back in the garden. But after man sinned, he found himself. He was alienated. He was separated from God. But through redemption, we are again restored to a relationship with God. You know, forgiven and cleansed, we find that we have been redeemed from the clutches of the powers of darkness. You know, redemption, it's such a beautiful thing. Another benefit of Jesus' shed blood is reconciliation. Definition means to restore to friendship, the resolving of a conflict. Reconciliation is bringing into unity, harmony, or agreement what has been alienated. To bring about a change that restores harmony between human beings and God. I like that. Definition. We were alienated. And this change restores harmony between us and God. A couple verses. You can turn to 2 Corinthians 5. I have a couple verses to read there. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to read verses 18 to 21. Second Corinthians 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in God's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Some beautiful verses. You know, he restored reconciliations, restoring, bringing harmony between human beings and God. It's a blessing. Another verse, two verses from Colossians 1, verses 21 and 22 says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight." See the difference? You know, we were sinful. We had the death penalty, but he presents us. What did it say? Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. It's a blessing. Another benefit of Jesus' shed blood, number five, is justification. Justification is a gracious act of God in which he declares repentant believers as righteous. Couple verses here. Romans 3:24 says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Romans 5 verse 8 says, "But God," 8 and 9, "but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." You know, it talks about while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And now we're justified by his blood. We're saved from the wrath. Beautiful. You know, it's one thing to believe that you are forgiven, cleansed, and redeemed. But it's another to believe that it is just as if you had never sinned in the first place. You know, that's God. We've been clean. We've been justified. And it's just as if you had never sinned in the first place. It's a blessing. Everyone who has faith in and accepts the blood of Jesus Christ as the atonement for their sins is justified in the sight of God. Another benefit of Jesus' shed blood is sanctification. Number six is sanctification. Sanctification refers to being set apart for God's special purpose, meaning to be cleansed from sin and be made holy. 2 Timothy 2, verse 21 says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." You know, sanctification involves being separated from this old world and its sinful ways and being dedicated to God's service and his glory, serving him. And this will involve a change of heart, mind, and desires. Sanctification implies being cleansed from sinfulness and impurity, both in avoiding sin and being freed from the power of sin. You know, sanctification, it's not a one-time event, but it's a continuous process of spiritual growth and transformation throughout a believer's life. It involves learning to live in obedience to God, you know, developing Christian virtues and becoming more Christ-like. You know, it's only Jesus' blood can make that possible. Another benefit of Jesus' shed blood, number seven, is peace. True peace is not merely the absence of conflict or distress, but a deep internal tranquility that comes from reconciliation with God and trust in his sovereignty. I like that. true peace. You know, sometimes we go through things that are anything but peaceful. But we can have true peace. True peace comes from, what did it say? It's a deep internal tranquility that comes from reconciliation with God, trust in his sovereignty. Romans 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. You know, peace is primarily found in a right relationship with God, achieved through faith in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. That's what gives us peace. True peace is described as a gift from God. You know, it's not something that you and I can earn or we achieve through our human efforts. It's not. It's a gift from God. True peace is found in trusting that God is in control, trusting that he's working all things out, working all things together for good. You know, this trust enables believers to face life's challenges. Life gets complex at times. Face a lot of hard things. But it enables believers to face life's challenges with the hope and assurance, knowing that God is with them every step of the way. There will still be plenty of battles to fight, but the outcome has been determined on Calvary. Number 8, another benefit of Jesus' shed blood is access to the throne. Let's turn to Hebrews 4. A couple verses I want to read. Hebrews 4, I want to read verses 14 to 16. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Verse 14, Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, Jesus' blood has made possible your complete reconciliation with the Father in heaven. Now, covered as you are with the blood of Christ, you're like the high priest who's invited to enter the most holy place in the tabernacle without being struck dead. Now you and I can enter the most holy throne room of heaven with perfect exemption or freedom without punishment. What a gift. Blessing. Because Jesus has removed the wall that separated us from God, we can now have a relationship with God and pray to him in Jesus' name. And Christ is in heaven. He is interceding for us at the right hand of God. He's by the throne of God. A couple of verses. Romans 8, 32 to 34. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it God that justified? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know, isn't it almost mind-boggling when you just stop and think about the 8 benefits that we just looked at? You know, God has done so much for us. What should our response be? Well, our response should, you know, all praise, honor, worship to the Lamb of God for what he's done on the cross. You know, the blood of Christ avails for you and me. We heard about that earlier in the service. You know, let's each declare with thanksgiving what the blood of the Lamb has accomplished for each of us. Well, just a few closing thoughts. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy unto him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." You know, this morning, we're part of the church family here at Churchville. You know, family is where you ask the hard questions and talk about the hard things. We all know every one of us was born with a sinful nature. And there is no hope for you or I unless we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior and have applied the blood to our lives. You know, when you're sitting at the bedside of a loved one that's getting ready to take their last breath, it makes you think seriously. You know, I evaluated my dad's life, you know, from the time I knew him to the end of his life. And I thought about his goals and his desires, the choices that he made, and what really made him tick. Then I asked myself the hard questions. What are my goals? What are my desires as I go through life? What are the choices that I'm making as I go through life? And what really makes me tick? You know, today is a day to answer these questions. You know, today is a day of opportunity. You know, because if I'm not doing something right, I have the opportunity to change. Day of opportunity. And I want you to just stop and think about some earthly possession that really means a lot to you. And we all have possessions that mean a lot to us. I'm not talking about family. Family you can take to heaven. Our loved ones, family. But all of us have possessions, things that can mean pretty much to us. You know, maybe it's your house, maybe it's your business, maybe it's your restored tractor or car, a gun, or your Snap-on tools. You know, all those things, as good and right as they may be, they are going to do you no good when you are called to leave this earth. It's true. You know, the last few weeks of my dad's life, he wasn't even asking about the business or his restored case tractor in the basement, etc. You know, when you're laying there in survival mode, all those things are meaningless. They are. You're going to let them all behind. You know, and the only thing that matters is that you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior and that you have applied Christ's shed blood to your sinful carnal life. Well, this morning, what does your life look like? Have you applied the blood? Are you sold out to him and living in obedience to Christ and his word? Just remember, there will be no sin in heaven. Absolutely none. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you never took that step of accepting Christ as your personal Savior. You know, once you have reached the age of accountability and God has called you, you know, the only way to spend eternity in heaven is to apply the blood of Christ to your life. You know, God makes it very plain. So I beg you to take that step if God's calling you. You know, I was thinking about our church family here. You know, we buried four of our members in a little less than a year. Homer, Esther, Marge, and Roman. And, you know, some of you may be, well, they're older people. And I thought of Brother Aaron Shank used to say, the old must die and the young may die. You know, none of us are promised tomorrow. You know, if God calls your name today or tomorrow, I was thinking about, you know, if I'd been involved in a bad accident on the way home from church and my life would be taken, am I ready to meet God? Have you applied the blood? Eternal life is in the blood of Jesus. I thought of the song. I was going to read it. I'm not going to have time. Number 415, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.